of both, right? This Shabbos is regular Parshas Mishpatim. It's also Rosh Chodesh, this Shabbos, and it's also Parshas Shkalim. So actually, we'll take out three Sefer Torah this Shabbos, which is very special. Okay, so let's look a little bit in Parshas Mishpatim, and then we'll see a little bit about Shkalim. And we'll see if there's very different types of Torahs that our Rebbe has for us this morning. So let's see. Okay. First, a segula. People like segulas. Sometimes people like segulas too much, in my opinion, but people like segulas. So we have an interesting segula, a technique that a person can use when a person is struggling with machshavos zaros. Okay? A technique to use when you feel that your mind is not in control, and you're trying to reel it in, you're trying to make sure that I can restore my mind to its proper place. My mind is wandering, sometimes with lewd thoughts, improper thoughts, heretical thoughts. Okay, but I think specifically this is a kavana. I think my understanding is to specifically for machshavos zaros in terms of arayos and znus, but I think it's really on a certain level for all machshavos zaros. And that is what the pasuk says, beginning of the parsha, right, first piece. Okay, so first let's get into the parsha. Chaver, it's good to have a chumash. If you have a chumash, it's a great thing. I recommend open it up. Parchaf Aleph, pasuk Yud Dalet. Okay, you got to read the whole pasuk to understand what's going on here. It's hard for us to figure out what our Rebbe is saying if we don't read the whole pasuk. So let's read the whole pasuk. He only gives us part of the pasuk. Parchaf Aleph, pasuk Yud Dalet. If a person is acting bemezid, right? He's acting deliberately, he's intentionally trying to what? To kill his fellow man ba'arma, in a sneaky way, in a cunning way. Then even, Rashi explains, even if he's on the mizbeach, even if he's a kohen, and he's about to perform the avoda, the Beis HaMikdash, you have to take him off of the Mizbeach to put him to death. Right? In other words, he's not protected by the fact that what? By the fact that he's a priest. He doesn't have protection. Okay? So if someone is trying to harm someone else in such a way, he doesn't have this protection. Okay? Rashi explains, V'chi Yazid, just reading from the Chumash, V'chi Yazid, Lama Nemar, right? What exactly is the Pasuk even talking about? Lefishenemar, because it already said in the pasuk beforehand, it said in pasuk Yud Beis, Maka ish, if a person strikes another person, says Rashi, Shomea ani afilu hara goy, verofe shahemis, ushliach beistin shahemis, bamalkus arbayim, va'av hamakes beno, va'arav harodes tamido, va'ashogig. If a person kills an anju, or if a doctor, God forbid, causes the death of a patient while he's treating him, or a shliach beistin, who's administering malchus, right, and he kills the person by accident, or a father who's trying to rebuke his child and strikes the child, or a rebbe who hits a student, who disciplines a student, and accidentally kills such a person, or stam, just anyone who kills bishogeg, right? Talmud lomar v'chi yazid v'lo shogeg. So the Torah says here, no, those were cases of shogeg. Now it's v'chi yazid. Lahargo ba'arma, the pasuk says, to kill him, right? Oh, sorry, I skipped the line. V'chi yazid v'lo shogeg, al re'ehu, some editions of Rashi say, al re'ehu v'lo alagoy. There may be different rules for killing a fellow Jew versus killing someone not from our people. Lahargo ba'arma, to kill him in a deceptive way, in a sneaky way. What does that mean? V'lo shliach beistin, v'harofe, v'harode b'no v'tamido. Not a person who's trying to do something that he thinks is proper. Someone working for the Beis Din who's administering lashes. A doctor who's trying to heal someone and accidentally kills them. A father or a Rebbe who's trying to discipline a child. Al pi shehem mezidin ve'ein marimin. Right? Those are individuals who are acting intentionally. Right? The doctor who's intentionally cutting this person open, but with the intention to help him. Here we're talking about a person who's what? Who's trying to, in a sneaky type of way, is trying to harm someone. So such a person has to be taken to task. Okay, this is all within the Parsha Pshat. Our Parsha is filled with people who are fighting, and people who are injuring, and people who are killing, and people, okay, etc. Says the Avodas Yisrael. Mikan nucha limtso haremez. This pasuk perhaps is hinting to a famous remez that we have from the Arizal. It's brought from the Arizal, and it's brought in the name of the Ramak, Rav Moshe Cordovero, the great Mekubalim, Kibel mipi Eliyahu Zal, that he received a tradition from Eliyahu Zachor Latov, from Eliyahu Anavi. Levatel machshava zara. If your mind has machshava zaros, there's a special pasuk you could say, as a like a tefillah, as a segula, to help you to overcome machshava zaros. What pasuk is that? Eish tamid tukad al hamizbeach. It's a pasuk at the beginning of Vayikra, Vayikra Perak Vav. Eish tamid tukad al mizbeach loy sichpe. The fire that's burning on the mizbeach should never be extinguished. The eish tamid of the mizbeach. When a person says and meditates on this pasuk, it's a tradition we have from Eliyahu himself to be mevatel machshavo zaros. Eish tamid tukad al mizbeach. So now, that's what we find in the writings of the Rizal. That's the tradition the Ramak brings. How is it hinted to in our pasuk? Says our pasuk. Ve'afshar lefi zeh lefarish ha-pasuk. With this we can explain our pasuk. V'chi yazid ish. When someone is intentionally trying to harm you, who's that referring to? Hayetzahara. Al re'ehu. He's trying to harm his friend, his neighbor, his companion. Who's the companion of the Yetzahara in your heart? The Yetzer Tov. Who are Yetzer Tov? Shehu yachta b'libo. That they share a space in a person's heart. Lahargo ba'arma. And he's trying to destroy you with something that is deceptive, something that is almost hidden, right? There's things that a person does where it's obvious that the Yitzhar is acting against him. But what you're thinking, no one knows what you're thinking. It's very private. But the Yitzhar can try to take over your mind and destroy you in that way. So when the Ish is Yazid, when an individual tries to destroy you, to kill you, to ruin you. In other words, when the Yetzirah starts up with the Yetzer Tov, lahargo ba'arma, b'machsheves armumis v'chozeves, by placing all sorts of false ideas in your mind. So what does the pasuk say? Me'im mizbechi tikachenu lamus. It says the Kashas Ramagid, what's it hinting to? Me'im mizbechi. Use the segula about the mizbeach to fight back. Me'im mizbi tikachenu, take from the segula of the mizbeach, lamus, to kill the Yetzahara. What is the segula of the mizbeach? V'hainu ha-segula lomar ha-pasuk, the segula's pasuk, eish tamid tukad al ha-mizbeach. It's what we're talking about before we started shiur today, the fire that burns within a Jew, the eternal fire, when it looks like I'm losing control, the Yetzahara is taking over my mind, I can't get my head in the right place. So use this segula. It's a segula from the Arizal. It's a segula from Eliyahu Anavi. It's a segula to what? To think and to say the pasuk, Eish tamid tukad al mizbeach lo sichbe. There's a fire that is eternal fire that is burning on the mizbeach, never to be extinguished. And by using that pasuk, ya'avor ruach ha-tumah min ha'aret, you're able to remove the tumah from within your mind, from within your body. Okay? So that's what's hinted to. This segula, which is a segula from the sixth chapter of Vayikra, right, is hinted to in our pasuk. V'chi yazid ish are'eyu lahargo ba'arma. When an individual, Yetzahara, intentionally tries to kill a person by putting perverse thoughts in their mind, we should take from the mizbeach, take this segula of eish tamid tukar al mizbeach, take this pasuk about the mizbeach, and use it to fight back. Okay, it's a segula, it's a real segula, and it works. You can try it, chevra. Try it yourself. I hope you never have machshava zaros, but next time your mind is running wild, try it. Try it. I've used it myself and it works. I'm telling you it works. Try it. Eish tamid tukar al mizbeach lo sichba. There's a fire that burns on the mizbeach that's never extinguished. And you'll see, it'll kindle, it'll reignite your internal flame and will serve as a protection against the Yetzirah. Okay, Aleph, a segula. Beis, the second Torah. The Parsha describes a person who digs a pit in the middle of the street. The danger of digging a pit in the middle of the street. And again, there are many halachos about how deep is the pit and what happened. Did an animal hurt itself there? Did a person fall there? Is the pit big enough to injure people? Is the pit big enough to kill people? The Torah says the following. Says the pasuk, "V'chi yiftach ish bor." If a person will open up a pit. Now, open up could mean to uncover, but open up could also mean to dig a pit. If a person digs a pit, ki yichra ish bor, or if a person digs a pit. Now, you just said opening a pit could mean digging a pit. So what is digging a pit? Why is it saying it twice? And then the end of the pasuk says, Baal Habor Yishalem. The one who is the owner of the pit is held accountable. If you remember our Gemara in Psachim from the first semester, right, there are two things that are not in a person's possession. He doesn't own them, but he's responsible for. What are they? Chametz on Pesach, and a boar, Bishas HaRabim. Right? Remember Psachim Davav HaMebeis. It's not yours, you don't own that empty space, you don't own the pit, right? But you're still held accountable for creating that danger in the middle of the street. Okay? So again, look at the pasuk. V'chiyiftach ishbor, if a person will open up a pit, or a person yichra ishbor, a person will dig a pit, baal habor yishalim, the owner of the pit will pay. Says Rashi, why does it mention digging a pit after it mentions opening a pit? Isn't that the same thing? Perish Rashi, lahavi koira achar koira. It comes to place accountability on a digger after a digger. That one who digs after someone else has already dug. So someone dug the pit 9 tefachim, and you come along and dig out a 10th tefach. So now you've made it really dangerous. 10 tefachim is assumed to be very dangerous. So we place the responsibility on the one who completed the digging process. Okay. However, we haven't seen a Torah like this from the Avodas Yisrael, I don't think, very much at all this year. The Vilna Gaon actually has a very similar Torah. It's a totally different type of style of Torah. Look what he says here. He says, if you look at the pasuk carefully, what will you notice? You know what you'll notice? You'll notice that the word, and it's terribly written on the screen because it totally undermines the Vart, because they wrote it wrong. They spelled the pasuk wrong. The first time, the word bor, which means pit, appears 3 times in the pasuk. If you look in the Chumash, the first time it's spelled Bez Vav Resh. The second time it's not spelled like this. It's spelled Bez Resh. It's spelled without the Vav. It's pronounced bor, but it's spelled without the Vav. And the third time, again, it's spelled bor with the Vav. Okay? So when a word is spelled with a Vav, it's called male, it's full. When it's spelled without a Vav, it's spelled chaser. It's spelled Bez Resh. Right? We pointed out the other day when it says we fought against the Malik, Mochama Lashem ba Malik, Midor Dor. How would you spell door if you were writing a Hebrew composition? How would you write the word door, meaning generation? You would write Dalid Vav Resh. But the Torah spells it Dalid Resh, right? It's pronounced door, but it's spelled chaser. So same thing here. The first time the word bor appears in the Pasuk, it's Bez Vav Resh. The second time it's just Bez Resh. And the third time again it's Bez Vav Resh. So says the Kashrut Zer Magid, that spelling hints to the halachos of a boar. Really? What does that mean? What did Rashi tell us? Rashi told us that a person who what? Who finishes the digging process, who does just a little bit of digging, is held accountable for what? For completing the hole, for making the hole 10 tefachim deep. Udefi perish Rashi miyushav hamikra al mechono. According to Rashi's explanation, now we see the precision of every letter of Torah. Ki bor harisho nechtav mali bavav. The first vor is spelled in the Torah with the letter vav. Vahasheni chaser. And the second one is just spelled bez resh. Vahashlishi mali. And the third one is once again spelled complete with a vav. Ayin sham b'chumish miduyak. Look in a chumish that's written precisely. Or look in a sefer Torah and that's what you'll see. Avalafi perish rashi nicha. According to Rashi's explanation, it makes a lot of sense to us. What does it mean? D'chi yiftach mai rishaya bor shel asar tefachim. The first thing, a person who makes a bor, beiz vav resh, is referring to a person who what? Who makes a full pit. Right? That's why the word is written full. He digs out a full 10 tefachim pit. Ki yiftach mai rishaya bor shel asar tefachim. He digs a pit of 10 tefachim. Lazer nichtav male, so the word is written full. Shalohaya chaser ela psicha. Because the only thing that's missing in this pit is that maybe it's covered with a manhole. So as soon as someone removes the cover, the pit is full. Oki yichra ish bor. The second time it says what? If a person digs a bor, why is it written chaser? Why is it spelled bez resh? Chaser. Shaya chaser me'asara tfachim umalo. Because it's hinting to the fact that the pit was not a full 10 tefachim, it was chaser, the pit was only 9 tefachim deep, and this individual came along to dig a partial pit, right? A pit that was partially dug out before him. So now he's completing it. So says the Pasuk, if a person comes to a pit that is partially dug, and he's yichra bor, and he digs it the rest of the way, what's the halacha? V'hu kora achar kora. If he digs after someone has already dug, in other words, he finishes the job, he digs out that last tefach, ha'achron chayav, the one who completes the pit is chayav. And that's why the pasuk says, bal habor yishalem, the one who makes the pit complete, just like the word bor is once again complete, bor male, beis vav resh, spelled complete, hainu misha hayu memalo, the one who completes the job, memalehu yishalem, is the one who pays. Okay? So a very creative and clever Torah. And again, it shows you the power of every letter of Torah. Right? Why does Hashem choose to spell the word bor, sometimes beis vav resh? Why is it sometimes spelled beis resh? If we knew how to look deeply into the letters, we would see it's teaching us Torah Shebaal Peh, teaching us the halachos. The first bor is a complete bor. The second bor is beis resh, because it's incomplete. And then you come yichra, and you dig out the last bit. Baal habor, the one who completed it, who completed digging the hole, Yishalem is the one who pays. Okay? Again, a very different type of Torah than we've seen from the Avodas Yisrael this year. But again, just an amazing insight. Okay. Let's see one more in Parshas Mishpatim. We'll go to the last piece in Parshas Mishpatim. Okay, it appears here on page Tzadibes. And this is a scene from the very end of the Parsha. At the very end of the Parsha, we have a very unusual scene. A scene where they build a Mizbeach, and karbanos are being offered. Different types of karbanos are being offered. And Moshe Rabbeinu collects the blood, and he takes the blood. The blood is divided in half from the animal, from the karbanos. Half of the blood is going to be sprinkled on the Mizbeach, and strangely enough, the other half of the blood is splashed on the people. And Moshe says, by the splashing of the blood, Vayikach, I'm just reading from the Chumash, end of the Parsha, Perach Chavdal Pasuk Ches, Vayikach Moshe es Hadam, Vayizrok al Ha'am, he threw it on the people. Right? Okay, some Rishonim says he literally threw it on the people. Some Rishonim say he threw it in the direction of the people. He didn't actually sprinkle the blood on them. It would be very strange. Picture of Klal Yisrael covered in blood. Very weird. Very strange image. Very unusual image. And Moshe, by sprinkling the blood, half on the Mizbeach and half on the people, Moshe says, Hine dam habris asher karas Hashem imachem al kol hadvar me'ela. Right? This is a covenant of blood between you and Hashem. Right? This kind of seals the deal. At the foothills of Har Sinai, we bring karbanos, half the blood is on the Mizbeach, that's representing Hashem, half the blood is on us, representing Klal Yisrael, and now this is the Dam HaBris that seals the deal, seals the relationship, solidifies the relationship between us and Hashem. But when Moshe divides the blood, Rashi has a very unusual comment. It's based on a Gemara in Zvachim. Vayikach Moshe Chatzi Hadam, Moshe took half the blood, and the Pasuk says, Vayosem ba'aganos, and he placed it into some type of basin, some type of kli, some type of, bowl. Vayosem ba'aganos. Says Rashi, Moshe took half the blood. He took half the blood. It sounds like it was already divided when he took it. Who divided it? Says Rashi, very strange comment. Mi chilko, who divided the blood? Ba malach v'chilko. A malach came and divided the blood. Okay. So when Moshe took the blood, it was already divided by a malach. Why couldn't Moshe divide the blood himself? Why do we need a malach to divide the blood? Ulechora tmua, says the Kazus Magid. This is very strange. The Mai Inyan Hachaluka Daika Lachatzain. It must be that the malach divided the blood because, you know, human beings were imprecise. So Hashem wanted the blood to be divided perfectly in half. So Hashem said to Malach, who could divide it, daika, precisely, lachatzan, in half. Who cares? Umaynaf kamina, im ya'eza chelek meruah mechavero. Who cares? Moshe has a sense. You know, he'll measure it up. He'll look at the two bowls. He'll say, these are about even. No. We need a Malach to divide it absolutely precisely. What difference would it make, he says, if one portion was slightly bigger than the other? You need to send a malach to divide the blood? From Shemayim, Moshe couldn't estimate, couldn't do his best job to make it even? You need a malach to precisely divide the blood? What's the pshat? But friends, if you remember, we learned last week that the Torah was given in the month of Sivan. And the mazel, the horoscope, the astrological sign for the month of Sivan, we said was what? Was to'omim, was twins. And if you remember, we spoke about it in one of the pieces that we learned from Rav Avram Shor on Purim. We learned about the very precise relationship that Hashem wants to have with us. That Hashem wants to see us, in a certain sense, as His equal. That we shouldn't spend our whole life with an inferiority complex saying, you know, like, who am I to be connected to Hashem? I'm so unworthy. I don't deserve to be married to Hashem. You know what sefer we read on Shavuos? What sefer do we read on Shavuos? Which of the Megillas do we read on Shavuos? We read Megillas Rus. Why do we read Rus on Shavuos? Because Rus is the story of this impoverished girl who ends up marrying the Gadol Hador. You know why we read that story on Shavuos? Some of the Mefarshim explain because it's the most unlikely shidduch possible. She was a non-Jewish princess who came to join the Jewish people. She's literally schlepping in the field, gathering little pieces of grain. And now she marries the Shofet, she marries Boaz, she marries the Gadol Hador. What kind of crazy shidduch is that? That's the exact same question we have every time we come to Kabbalah Satorah. We say to Hashem, why on earth do you want to marry me? It must be you're marrying me out of pity. And Hashem says, no. I see you as a true partner. And chaver, that's the pshat that the Kodesh Tzer Magid is telling us here. It's such a chashuv Torah. A malach came and divided the blood precisely as a way of Hashem saying to us that what? That I want to be your equal. Again, the mazel, the astrological sign for the month of what? Of Sivan, when we got the Torah, is to'omim, is twins. Hashem says, you're my twin. You're my partner. Ulefi shahamaisa hazos haya b'chamisha b'sivan b'mazel to'omim. Since this happened on the 5th of Sivan, this incident, right? And the Kabbalah Satorah was on the 6th of Sivan, or maybe the 7th of Sivan. But since this incident took place on the 5th day of Sivan, b'mazel to'omim, when the stars are aligned in the constellation of twins, Gemini, asher nidbuku b'nei Yisrael im Hashem, kitoame tzivya, that we were clinging to Hashem, like what? Like twins. Like toame tzivya means like you know, two animals working side by side, sharing the yoke. And that's really what it is. We're sharing that responsibility in the world. Hashem sees us as real partners with Him. It's not that Hashem's just, you know, like humoring us. Hashem chose us and He married us. He wants to be with us. Umibsari echze eloka, like the pasuk says in Iyov. From my flesh I perceive Hashem. What does that mean? Kamo yichad lamata ben ahavas oavim, shenemar alayem kihem nefesh echad vidam echad. Like two people who really love each other. And again, it's not by chance we're going to read this, and now this same Shabbos we're going to go into what? Into the world of machasis ha-shekel, the two halves. If we only give half a shekel, so who provides the other half? The Ribbono Shel Olam. Hashem says, our love is like what? It's like two people who are really one. When I married my wife, I'm half a person. My wife's half a person. Together, we're a whole person. We're not two people who happen to live together. We're two halves that come together as one. A yichud lamata. So from the way that we feel a sense of attachment to our loved ones in this world, it helps us to understand how deeply connected we are to Hashem. V'chein hoya haremez kan al godel ava. This is alluding to the great love that Hashem has for us. Ki choshuv be'enei Hashem yizbar chati adam asher zorak al ha'am kamo achati asher zorak al mizbeach. Hashem says, I want it to be precise. I want my half and your half to be. I want to see us as equal partners. I don't want you to feel, maybe I can give you 1%, Hashem. Hashem says, no, 50-50. 50-50, we're real partners in this world. I'm not marrying you out of pity because no one else wants you. I chose you as a lecharchila. I'm proud to be, ani ledodi vedodi li. I'm proud to be married to you. And that's the secret of what ba malach v'chilko. That a malach came down from Shemayim in order to divide the blood to make sure that each one's half should be perfectly even. It should be perfectly balanced. However, this is a great introduction now to what we're going to learn for the remainder of our morning shir, which is what? Which is the Torah of the Kodesh Tzer Magid on Shkalim. Because the whole inyan of the Machasis HaShekel, let's review the Psukim to start. The whole inyan of the Machasis HaShekel is that what? If you're rich, if you're poor, everyone gives the same amount. No one is allowed to give more than someone else. Everyone has to do their share. It's an amazing idea. That whole notion of, you know, doing their part, doing their share. Such a chashuv idea to create a sense, you know, of genuine achdus and equality. Not only on a Bein Adam L'makom level, as we stood at Har Sinai, half the blood for you, Hashem, half the blood for me, but also on a Bein Adam L'chaveiro level. I have to see my chavrus as an equal partner. Why? He learns better than me. I learn better than him. Yeah, but without each other, you're both nothing. To be able to see yourself as a chatzi is a very important thing. Okay? So friends, let's review the psukim of Shkalim. Where do we find Parsha Shkalim in the Torah? Right? Where do we get the psukim that we read about this Shabbos? Again, as we celebrate Rosh Chodesh Adar this Shabbos, we read Parsha Shkalim. In addition to, again, the Kriyas HaTorah of Mishpatim, and it's also Rosh Chodesh, we're taking out three Sefer Torah. But where are the psukim of the Shekel? It's at the beginning of Parshas Kisisa. Okay, so let's review the psukim. Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe Lemor. Kisisa es rosh b'nei Yisrael efkudehem. When you want to make a count, literally tisa es rosh, when you lift up their heads, but when you're making a head count of the Jewish people, v'nasnu ish kofer nafsho la'ashem b'fkodosam. Each person should give a kofer nafsho. He should pay some type of ransom or redemption of his soul as he's being counted. We don't count Jews. You don't count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Everyone gives, as we're about to see, a half a shekel, and you count the half shkalim. That's how you take a census of the Jewish people. Because lo yiyeh behem negef bifkodasam. We don't want there to be, God forbid, a plague by counting Jews. You don't count Jews. Counting Jews is seen as a bad thing. It could cause, an ayin hara. It can cause a plague. It can cause destruction. We don't count people. We don't count. Don't count by counting people. So everyone gives a half shekel. Zeyitnu, this is what they should give. Kola over ala pekudim, anyone who's going to be a part of the count. Machasis ha-shekel b'shekel ha-kodesh. Truma la-Hashem, a donation to Hashem. Who gives a half a shekel? Kola over ala pekudim, anyone who passes through the count. Who's part of the count? You have to be 20 years and up. Rashi says from here we learn that until you're 20, you're not considered an adult by Jewish standards. You're also not eligible for the Jewish army until you're 20 years old. By Torah standards, ha'ashir lo yarbeh, v'hada lo yamit. No one's allowed to give more. No one's allowed to give less. It's usher to give a full shekel. Everyone gives a half shekel. L'chaper al nafsho seichem as a kapara for your soul. Okay, those are the psukim of. There's a little more to it, but that's the basic idea of the machasis ha-shekel. Okay, so let's see what is the deeper message of the machasis ha-shekel. Says the Kozhetzer Magid. Vayedaber Hashem v'gomer kisisa es rosh b'nei Yisrael lefkudehem. Dihinei. Kishahadam chote. It's very practical what he says. He's going to speak to us now. He's going to mechazik us when we're feeling down. And when we feel that we've made mistakes, how do we get back on track? Kisisa es rosh b'nei Yisrael. How do we pick our heads up again when we're feeling down? It happens. It happens in life. Dihinei kishahadam chote chas v'shalom. When a person does averos, we sometimes feel embarrassed to lift our heads before Hashem. We can't look Hashem in the eye, right? When you did something wrong. I remember as a kid, one time we had a substitute teacher. I must have been in fourth grade. And whatever, the whole class was acting like, you know, was acting silly. And somehow I became the Karban Pesach that day. And I remember being sent to the principal's office. And I remember the pachad. To this day, it's still, the principal's a nice guy. I just remember, and I said, like, no, please give me one. I begged the teacher, the substitute, give me one more chance. And she held her ground, and she sent me to the principal's office. And I just remember sitting there, like, too scared to lift up, literally to lift up my head. Like, too embarrassed to look the principal in the eye. And I knew, like, I hadn't done anything so crazy. But that sense of doing the wrong thing, not being able literally to lift your head, is a real thing. Is a real thing. So when we do averos, we're embarrassed. We don't want to look. We can't. We look down, right? A person feels down. A person feels depressed. You can't pick up your head, and you're embarrassed to kind of look Hashem in the eye, knowing what you've done. Ubevadai, lo dibra Torah b'meisim. The Torah is not talking about dead people. He's using that as a euphemism. Dead people meaning heim haposhim, talking about people who sin intentionally. She'enem boshim imenu yisbarach shemo, who are not embarrassed at all, who could care less, who just do averos. Those people who brazenly sin in the presence of Hashem. Right? About such people, Al zeh tiknu bevidoi shechatanu lefanecha ba'azus meitzach. We're not talking about when we do averos and we say, like, we don't care. Right? We clap. Oi, al chet shechatanu lefanecha, Hashem, I'm sorry for the times I did averos and I acted like I didn't even care. I'm talking about a good Jew who cares. I messed up and I care. I do. I feel bad. I'm embarrassed. I don't come to the principal's office and say, like, oh, it's not my fault. I come in with my head hung low because I'm ashamed of myself. So that's who the Torah is talking about here. We want to lift up a head of a Jew who feels embarrassed by it. He wants to be a good Jew. He really wants to be a good Jew. Achatora dibra me'osam hamuchanan b'shem Yisrael. We're talking about what? B'nei Yisrael. Jews who identify as proud Jews. Hu vaday misbayish mimenu yizbarach. Jews who are certainly embarrassed when they do the wrong thing. Who feel bad after they do an avera. That's who we're talking to. L'zeh amar kisisa es rosh b'nei Yisrael. When you lift up the head, when you want to lift up the head of a Jew, who again is embarrassed of his behavior, he wants to be. He didn't stop coming to shir, right? Because he doesn't want to learn. He's just embarrassed that he missed so many days of shir that now it's hard for him to come back to shir because he's too embarrassed. So we want to be mechazik him, right? A person who says, "I can't daven to Hashem because I did certain averos, but really I want to daven. I'm not davening because I hate davening. I'm just too embarrassed to open my siddur." So to such a Jew. Says the Kadosh Tzur Magid, here's the chizik. Here's the chizik for Chodesh Adar, Parsha Shkalim. Right? Mishnechlas Adar Marbim Besimcha. A person who's Besimcha is able to carry themselves. You know, they lift their head up high. They're able to feel a sense of pride, of confidence. So how do we get a person back on track? What's a lomar? Kishetirtze Lisa Rosham, Sheyuchlu B'nei Yisrael Lisa Es Rosham Lefanav Yisbarach Shema Ula Avdo. When we want to help a Jew lift up his head to be able to serve Hashem once again, ubiprat shem tzrichem lekabel hashpos kadoshos shemischachos benisan shu rosh hashanah lemalachim. As we come to the new year, and again we know that on a certain level the calendar year starts from Nisan. So we're trying to get ready for what? To get ourselves ready to come to Chodesh Nisan, when Klal Yisrael are born once again, and Klal Yisrael are leaving Mitzrayim, and Klal Yisrael are growing, and Klal Yisrael are coming to our Sinai. So Chodesh Adar, I want to get this Jew ready to believe that he can go through that process again, coming out of Mitzrayim, lifting himself up, becoming the chosen, you know, nation at Har Sinai. Right? I'm beginning that whole process over again. U'mischadesh hashefa l'bnei Yisrael. There's so many new opportunities that are coming our way. So we got to get a Jew ready. Ve'im tzrichem lisa es roshem. We need to help a Jew pick up his head, believe you can be a part of it. K'dei sheyuchlu l'kabel hashpa. We don't want you to miss out on the awesome hashpa, the awesome influx of holiness that's coming our way. Lifkudehem, says the pasuk, lifkudehem, the pasuk pshat, lifkudehem means the count. Ratzalomar, laosan hadvarim, shahayu chaserim mehem ad achshav. This shoresh pei kuf dalid could mean a number of things. The pasuk pshat in the pasuk, pakod, pikudehem means the count, right? Lifting up the head, for the count. In other words, to get a head count. That's the Pashup Shad in the Pasuk. But the Shorish Pei Kuf Dalid sometimes in Tanakh means what? Something that's missing. Like for example, in Parshas Matos, when the Jews go out to fight against Midian, at the end of that battle it says, Lo Nifkad Mimenu Ish. No man was Nifkad, was lost on the battlefield. No one was missing. So in other words, Kisisa Es Rosh B'nei Yisrael, we're trying to lift up the head of a Jew, lifkudehem, because he feels that he's missing something. Again, look, Ratzalomar. La'osan hadvarm shahayu chaseir mehem arachshav. A person feels something chaser. He feels a void in his life. And he wants to fill that void, but he's just too embarrassed. He doesn't know how to pick up his head. He's too ashamed. He doesn't know how to come back to Hashem. He's feeling distant from Hashem. Says the pasuk, v'nasnu ish kofer nafsho. A person has to give a kofer nafsho. He has to somehow redeem his soul. What does that mean? K'maymer ha-mishorer, like David HaMelech said in Tehillim Perachafei, L'David Eilecha Hashem Nafshi Esa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to you, Nafshi Esa, I'm giving over my soul, I'm surrendering to you, Hashem, I'm asking for your help, I know I'm only a Machas Yisa Shekel, I know I can't do it on my own, but I'm asking you, Hashem, I want to be lifted up. I'm prepared to make sacrifices for you. Shaya Moser Nafsho Lekedushas Shemo. I'm prepared to be Moser Nefesh for you, Hashem. Right? In other words, I always come back to this example. You know, take the Jew in the Holocaust, Lo Aleinu, who is not a particularly religious person, right? For whatever reason, he's not such a firm person. And yet, there's a deep sense of willingness to die al Kiddush Hashem. Again, there were Jews who literally marched to the gas chambers, screaming, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And they weren't the biggest tzaddikim necessarily in their lifetimes. But here, in that moment of self-sacrifice, they decided, I'm a proud Jew. I'm prepared to make the ultimate sacrifice for Hashem. So says the Pasuk, says David HaMelech, L'David Eilecha Hashem Nafshi Yasa. Hashem, I would give up my soul for you. Right? I'm struggling right now to do like a simple mitzvah because I'm too embarrassed. But the truth is, I love you enough, Hashem, that I'd be prepared to die al Kiddush Hashem for you. I'm prepared to be Moser Nefesh. I'm in a lot of pain right now. Like we were learning, you know, yesterday from the Kozhig Lover, from the Eretz Tzvi, right? That third level of Kabbalah Satorah where a Jew says, you know what, I'm prepared to make whatever sacrifice I need to make for you, Hashem. I'm just feeling down and I'm feeling stuck. V'nosnu ish kofer nafsho. David HaMelech says, L'David eilech Hashem nafshi esa. Hashem, I lift my soul to you. I would be Moser Nefesh. I would be prepared to give up my life for you. V'lezeh esa. David says, esa, nafshi esa. I'll lift up my soul. Esa, he says, is gematria shav. Okay, 302. In other words, shaya meshiv kol nafshu al Hashem. Hashem, I would give it all back to you. I would reshav. I would return my whole being to you. Right? And David HaMelech says, al evosha va'al ya'altu oyvai li. Don't allow my enemies to get the better of me. Don't allow my enemies ya'altu to rejoice over me. In other words, says our Rebbe, David HaMelech olav ha'shalom, ha'yimavakesh mimenu yisbarach, shelo yedakdik benafsho, imhu roi lekabel, v'lo yashlich oso chutza. Hashem, I know if we were to kind of just look at my recent track record, I know I've been doing a lot of wrong things. I know it. I admit it. But Hashem, I want you to look deeper and I want you to know that I'm prepared to give up my life for you. I understand on the deepest level that my soul is nothing other than an extension of you. And therefore, Hashem, I don't want you to be medaktik and say, oh, you know, yeah, you were learning about Shinoi Makom and this week, you know, you violated it 16 times. Hashem, I don't want you to look at me in that kind of way. Don't be medaktik on my worthiness if you were to analyze me very precisely. Because if you do that, I'm going to end up getting tossed. You're going to throw me out. Hashem, don't look at me so carefully. V'lo yashlich oso achutza. And Hashem, don't throw me out. Don't leave me outside. Uvios kein al ya'altzu oyvai li. Hashem, don't allow my enemies to rejoice over me. Don't leave me on the sidelines. You know, like it says about Amalek. Amalek targeted who? The weaklings, the Jews who were trailing behind. According to Chazal, that means the Jews who got kicked out of the Anan HaYakavod. The Jews who were chutz l'machane. Hashem, don't leave me on the sidelines. I know I'm a little embarrassing to you, and I'm feeling embarrassed myself. But Hashem, please, recognize that what? V'nosnu kofer nafsho la'Hashem. My mesiras nefesh, my willingness to die al Kiddush Hashem, that itself makes me worthy of your love. Hashem, I know I've had a bad couple of weeks. I know I've been missing davening, and I haven't been concentrating in shir, and I've been struggling with machshavos zaros, and I've been speaking too much lashon hara, etc., 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 etc. But Hashem, look at the kofer nafsho. Look at my willingness, again, on a deep level, to be moser nefesh. I'm not just talking about dying al kiddush Hashem, like the example I gave of a Jew, you know, going to a gas chamber and screaming Shema Yisrael. Just look at the essence of my soul, Hashem. Ze yitnu kola over al pekudim, says the pasuk. Ze yitnu, this is what you should give all those who are part of the count. Now we're getting to the shekel. She yitnu madrega ze, she yuchlu lamod lefanov uleshareis ponim beponim, kasher yadaber ish el re'ehu. Friends, there was a level of connection that Moshe Rabbeinu had with Hashem called ze. Ze means the highest level of clarity. Ze keli va'anvehu. Ze, this, where I could see Hashem so clearly in my life. So you know what we ask of Hashem? Hashem, I know I'm not really worthy of asking this, but I'm going to ask it anyways. Ze yitnu kola over ala pekudim. I want you, Hashem, to give me an opportunity. I want you to restore the madrega called ze. Ze means being able to look you in the eye, panim b'panim. Ze means kasher yadaber ish al re'ehu, to talk to you again like a friend, Hashem. And yes, I understand. Kol ha'over ala pekudim. Again, what's the pashup shot? Anyone who passes through the count. On a deeper level, ratzalomar, Kol misha over. Anyone who's over means a person who does averos. Ala pekudim. Pekudim also could be a lashon of mitzvos. So misha over ala mitzvos. Upekudin demara. A person who violates mitzvos. A person who violates the pekudin, the commandments of the mara, of the master. Hashem, I want to be close to you. V'lohaya yachol lavod b'madrega zeh. It's been a long time since I was able to point to you and say, Zeh, this is my God. Zeh keli va'anvehu. To look you in the eyes. To have a real conversation. But Hashem, please, I'm asking you. This madrega called Zeh, yashuv v'yitein madrega zeh. Please, give me back that madrega. Hashem, look deep inside of me. Such a tefillah. Such a beautiful tefillah. Look deep inside of me. Deep down inside, on the surface, I know I know my scorecard is not great. And I know it. I know it. I'm embarrassed. This is not talking about a person who doesn't care about averos. Talking about a person who cares about averos. So Hashem, allow me to get back to having a close and intimate relationship with you. Chaver, what are the next words of the pasuk? Machasis hashekel b'shekel hakodesh. Listen to this. Dihine hayetzahara rotze lahadia chasa adam me'avodas Hashem baruchu uveruch shema'o. Hashem tries to push a person away by saying to a person, Halo ata hirbesa lifshoa. You have done too many averos. There's no turning back now. Your scorecard is F. You get an F. You failed. Eich tucha la'avodoso. The Yitzhara says to you, you're not worthy of serving Hashem, right? That anxiety that we have sometimes, that feeling of unworthiness in avodas Hashem. So says the pasuk, no, calm down, relax. Leze amar akaso, therefore says our pasuk, Machasis Hashekel. Sheyidme be'enav, shehu b'mishkal mechsa al mechsa. However, in one line he tells us, what is the secret of Machasis Hashekel? Machasis, of course, means chatzi, half. Shekel is a coin, but shekel also is a lashon of what? A mishkal, a scale. Machasis Hashekel. How is a person supposed to see himself at all times? It's a Gemara in Meseches Kedushin that he quotes here. K'maymer chachmenu la'olam yira adam v'chulu. A person should always see himself. You got to know what the v'chulu is. What's the end of that Gemara? A person should always see himself what? 50-50. The Rambam brings this in Hilchos Tshuva. You wake up in the morning and you're coming off of a bad day or a bad night. You wake up in the morning and you say, I am 50% good, 50% bad. My next decision is going to tip the scales. Machasis Hashekel. Look at the words again. Sheyidme be'enav, shehu b'mishka, that if I were to weigh myself right now, 50-50. Just like the blood that we divide at the end of this week's Parsha. Half to Hashem, half to me. So when I look at my averos, even though if I actually studied my scorecard, I'd see I got a lot more X's than checks. But I have to overcome that anxiety. I have to not fall into the trap of the Yitzhara who tells me, you're too far behind, you'll never catch up. Rather, I should see myself machasis hashekel, that the scale is machasis, it's weighing even. La'olam yira adam, like the Gemara says, you should always see yourself as 50-50. Uva mitzvah achas, and to believe that with the next move, my next mitzvah, machriya es kol olam kulo l'kaf schus, that my next move can tip the scales, not only for myself, but for all of humanity. Uva avera achas lehefech chas v'shalom. And if God forbid I make my next bad choice, I have to take it as if I'm destroying the whole world. But I don't have to be paralyzed by what happened yesterday. Right now, I'm 50-50. I have to make a choice right now. Do I want to do a mitzvah, or do I want to do an avera? However, that is the chizuk that we get from the Machasis Hashekel. Ki sisas rosh b'nei Yisrael, lefkudehem, a Jew who feels, I have too many pekudeh, I have too many chesronos. We say to such a person, v'nostu ish kofer nafsho. Look at the Mesiros Nefesh of a Jew. Ze yitnu, kola over ala pekudim. Hashem, please, ze, I want to be able to see you directly again. Even though I'm over ala pekudim, even though I did a lot of averos. Machasis Hashekel b'shekel hakodesh. Give me the ability to see myself as 50-50, which will give me the chizuk to what? The chizuk to make the right choice, to make the next move. And one final step, friends. Omar ze yitnu machasis hashekel. Let's go one step further. Let's add just one little bit more to the tefillah. And that is, ze yitnu machasis hashekel. On a certain level, you'll say, I wish I was an angel. If I was an angel, I wouldn't have so many ups and downs. The advantage of malachim over people is that Eitzel HaMalachim Ksiv, with regard to the angels, it says, Makom asher yiyasham haruach laleches yelechu. Wherever the spirit, whatever the wind is blowing, whatever direction Hashem wants them to go in, yelechu, they go. Angels have an ability to always do what Hashem wants. Shaholchin tamid acharaton Hashem ve'ein lehem yetzahara. They don't have a yetzahara, and sometimes we feel it's so not fair. Hashem, you set me up to fail. I was reading the biography of Rav Elia Lopian. Rav Elia Lopian, when he was a kid, he said that one time he had some. They had some farm animals. So one time he was like playing around in the kitchen, and he knocked over a vase or something, a glass vase, and it shattered. And his mother came over and she gave him a smack. And she said, "You have to be more careful. What are you doing? Watch where you're going." Okay. He said, a couple days later, one of the hens or the chicken, the rooster, whatever, was, you know, snuck into the house, and it started, you know, flapping its wings around, and it knocked over something and it broke. So he said to himself, "Oh, you know, mama's gonna smack this chicken." And the mother came over to the chicken, she picked up the chicken, and she patted it on the head, and she said, "Silly little chicken," and she took it and threw it outside. So he said to himself, as a kid, he's like, "I broke something, my mom gave me a patch. And the chicken broke something, and like no repercussions. I wish I was a chicken. I wish I was a chicken." He said, but when he got older, he realized, "I would much rather be a human being with all the possibilities of punishment, but also all the possibilities of reward, than to spend my life being a little hen or a little rooster or a little chicken." Right? That's the challenge of being a human being. The challenge of being a human being is that sometimes we mess up. If I was an angel, I would get everything right. That's true. That's an advantage malachim have over human beings. The malachim are holchin tamid acharotzon Hashem. Ve'ein lam yetzer hara. They never have a yetzer hara. Aval b'nei adam. Yesh lehem nefesh habahamius. Hamamshich letaivus. Hashem, you programmed me. You put inside of me a yetzer hara. That is so mean. That is so hurtful. Why would you do that to me? Why would you put a yetzer hara inside of me and make my life so miserable in that way? Why do you test me in that way? And Chevra, the answer is the following. Shekel, the Svarim tell us, and there's a lot of Torah about this, but we'll just see one little idea. Shekel is Begematria Nefesh. Interesting. Shekel is Gematria Nefesh, 430. Machasis HaShekel, there's a lot of ways to understand that. So what is Machasis? Half a soul? Half a Nefesh? What does that mean? Our Rebbe explains. Shitzarech Adam Litein Machasis HaShekel. Try to give half a shekel. If shekel is gematria nefesh, what is half of shekel? Half of shekel is gematria ruach. What did the pasuk say about the angels? About the angels, it's easy for them. Why is it so easy for them? Like it says, asher yesh sham haruach laleches yelechu. They just go with the ruach. For us, we have to what? We have to donate the ruach. We have to give half of shekel, which is gematria ruach. Ratzolomar. What does that mean? That means try to give of yourself for Hashem, but it also means give yourself over to Hashem. It's true. Hashem, you programmed me in a difficult way. But that also means it has to be possible for me to be successful. You wouldn't put me in this situation if I couldn't win, if I couldn't somehow do what I need to do. Ratzalomar. Sheyitein habachira vaharatzon shalo lahabore baruchu. Give a half a shekel. Give your ruach, give your spirit over to Hashem. The angels are programmed like robots. They have the ability to just do it on their own. But Hashem, I need your help. I can't do it without you. Shuhu yizbarach shemo yitein lo ratzon la'avodoso. Hashem, I'm asking you, give me the ratzon to be able to serve you. Give me the ability to serve you. Ze yitnu. That's what I have to try to give. I have to try to give over my ruach to Hashem, that Hashem should be able to help me. And chavra, last but not least, as the pasuk said, if you're rich, you're not allowed to give more. And if you're poor, you're not allowed to give less. Everyone has to give the same amount. Ha'oshir lo yarbe, v'hadal lo yamit. If you're rich, if you're poor, everyone gives the same amount when it comes to the machasis ha'shekel. So explains our Rebbe, one last piece, on page Sadi Dalet. Where is it on the page?
Right at the top, Rebbe. It's the first line. Last word. Oh, no, I'm wrong.
Usher lo yarbe. Yeah, right over here. Yeah, you're right. Right over here. Yeah, right over here. Ha'asher lo yarbe v'hadal lo yamit. Right, thank you. The rich person shouldn't increase, and the poor person shouldn't give less. Chevra, Here's the punchline. Ha'ashir nikra misha hir balasos mitzvos samaisim tovim. A rich person is a person who what? Who's doing great. He's got a good streak. And he's busy with mitzvos samaisim tovim. And he's usher. He's rich in mitzvos. Lo yarbeh. Lo yarbeh. What does it mean, lo yarbeh? Do not increase. What does that mean? Lo yarbeh ve'yagdil es atzmo. Don't become a bal gaiva. Chevra, we were talking about when you're feeling down, you have to see yourself 50-50. But when you're feeling up, you also have to see yourself as 50-50. We live, our whole life is machasis ha-shekel. The life of a Jew is machasis ha-shekel. So when you're doing great, and you're learning well, and you're davening well, and you're doing lots of mitzvos, lo yarbeh ve'yagdil es atzmo. Don't see yourself as being so chashuv. Like it says, you take a shvuah when you come to this world. Mashbiyam oso. Every one of us took an oath. Gemara Nida. Pesachas Nida Daf Lamed. We took an oath that af al pi, shekola olam omer melecha tzadik, even if the whole world tells you, oh, wow, your mom is a tzadik, yeh be'enecha kirasha. You should be in your eyes like a rasha. You should be a rasha? No. Kaf hadimion. Kirasha. Kirasha. Careful. Kirasha. She'ein adam rasha'a lahachzich es atzmo rasha. You can't obviously consider yourself a rasha. That's inappropriate. Right? We said already. La'olam yira. A person should always see himself 50-50. Ela kirasha. In other words, even when you're doing great, remind yourself, kirasha. There's things I could still work on. I see myself like a rasha who has room for growth. I also have room for growth, even if I'm doing great. Upirish, and that means kumosha harasha machzik atzmo lifachos lebenoni. Just like a rasha sometimes deludes himself into thinking, well, I'm not so bad. I'm at least, you know, I'm like an average guy, you know, like I do some of errors, but like a lot of people do. So I'm a benoni. I'm a middle of the road kind of guy. So af ata, so to you. Afilu kol ha'olam omelcha tzadik ata. Even if everyone tells you, wow, you're tzad, you don't need to work. You're perfect. You're amazing. You don't need to work on anything. Tachtich as atzmo lebenoni. Just like a rasha always convinces himself, I'm an average guy. So even if you're doing amazing, convince yourself, I'm an average guy. I could do more. I could do better. I can keep growing. That's a healthy way to keep growing. And on the flip side, however, what's the flip side? Vahadal, the one who's poor, lo yamit, should not, what, also give less than a half a shekel. Ratzalomar, ein dal ele betoro, maisim tovim. We're talking about a person, again, who's poor in mitzvos and maisim tovim, in Torah. Lo yamit, don't think too small of yourself. Lo yachzich as atzmo l'rasha. Don't think of yourself as a rasha. Don't say it's hopeless. Again, don't let the Yetzirah convince you you're unworthy. Elagam kein lebenoni. See yourself as, again, 50-50. Like a shekel. Like a machasis a shekel. Mechsa al mechsa. Like a scale that's perfectly balanced. V'yochol la'achriya es kol ha'olam l'kaf schus. V'zehu machasis a shekel. And you have the ability to tip the scales of the world. And chever, that is the secret of the machasis a shekel. Okay? So the lesson today, again, both, just to review very quickly, we started off with the segula, right? The segula of Eish Tamid Tukar Al Mizbeach Lo Sechpe, a technique from the Arizal to control your mind when your mind is filled with foreign thoughts and how it's connected to the Pasuk in our Parsha. And then we learned his interesting insight into Bor, 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 right? Three times the Pasuk says Bor, and the way that it's spelled tells us a halacha about uncovering a pit. And then we learned the piece in Mishpatim about splitting the blood exactly 50-50, because the relationship with Hashem is mamish 50-50, and that leads us in so beautifully to this idea of the machasis ha-shekel, that a Jew is far from Hashem and can't even pick up his head. He has to ask Hashem, zeh yitnu, give me the ability to see you again, to talk to you again, to be able to see myself as 50-50, to have the ability to make that next move that can hopefully tip the scales of the world in my personal life in the right direction. And it's true, I'm not a malach. I'm not a malach. If I was a malach, it would be easier. But I'm giving over my ruach to you, my machasis ha-shekel, half of nefesh, gematria shekel is ruach. I'm giving myself over to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And in that way, a person lives a balanced life. When I'm doing great, I say, I'm still a benoni. When I'm doing terrible, I'm still a benoni. My whole life is a machasis ha-shekel. Okay? So friends, let's stop here. Mamish Gavaldik Torah from our Rebbe. And we're zocha to learn Avodas Yisrael. We're very lucky. I don't know too many people who necessarily have the opportunity every week to sit, you know, in a big chabura like this and learn Avodas Yisrael. It's very, very special. How many other groups of people you think learn Avodas Yisrael every week in the world? You think there are 100 other groups that do that? I don't think so. You think there are 10? Could be there's 10. Maybe there's 10. I don't know. You think how many minyanim of people do you think in the world learn about Eretz Yisrael every week? What do you think? We're part of an elite group of Jews in the world today. I'm serious. You have to think about that sometimes. And the Kozhetzer Magid is in Shemayim. He's smiling down on us and saying, a bunch of mono-Orthodox kids who are learning on Zoom, who are sort of in YU, or wherever, you know, we all are, get together every week to learn my Torah. That's unbelievable. That's such a big schus for us. We have to really appreciate that.